You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hey, let's give it up for Coshocton. Would you do that, huh? That's incredible. And I want to give a shout out to all of you in Coshocton. And I just want to say congratulations, way to go. You're making an impact. You're making a difference in Coshocton County. But here's what I want all of us to realize and understand. It's not just happening in Coshocton. It's happening in Holmes County at our Millersburg campus. It's happening in Wayne County in our Worcester campus. It's happening in Stark County in our Canton campus. It's happening in Tuscarawas County in our Dover campus. And it's because of people like you. And I'm thankful for you. You see, everything that you're experiencing today didn't happen through someone wishing it to happen. They weren't angels who came in and set all this stuff up and got all this stuff going. No, it was people. It was people. People like you, people like me, who decided to make a difference, who decided to make an impact. And I am very, very passionate about what I'm going to share with you today. And not so much because we need your help. It's much greater than that. It's much more impactful than that. I am passionate about this because I believe this is what leads you and I to experience significance and fulfillment in our life. You see, all of us here today, in one way or another, have experienced success. But success is like drinking pop. It tastes good, but it's not fulfilling. Only pure, clean water will quench your thirst. God made you and I that way. And when you and I become intentional about making an impact for God and for His kingdom, it's there that you and I experience significance. It's there that you and I experience fulfillment. And you see, I believe that it's important for every single one of us to be able to connect with God and to be able to connect with that God-given passion that He's placed in you and me. And that's why today I invite you on a journey. You see, leadership is all about inviting people on a journey. And here's the journey that I want to invite you to. I want to make a difference with people who want to make a difference, doing something that makes a difference at a time that makes a difference. It could be read like this. I want to make an impact with people who want to make an impact, doing something that makes an impact at a time that it makes an impact. And so what I want you to understand today is this. I want something for you more than I want something from you. Now, if you choose to get involved, and I'm going to ask you to get involved, it will help New Point. We will be better at what we do. But that's not the bigger purpose here today. I want to invite you to be a part of the impact team more for what it will do for you than for what it will do for New Point. You know, on that video, did you hear her? She said, I love coming and making a difference. But you know what? It does something for me. It does something in me to be able to make a difference. And when you and I begin to understand that, and we become intentional with that, then what happens is you come alive. You begin to say, you know what? This is what I was made for. This is what I was created to do. And so we have to be able to understand that. We have to be able to realize that. Now, there's all kinds of things that keeps you and I from doing that. One is, if you read the Bible, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that at the beginning, what happened is they had people who were called Levites and priests. And they were people who served God. They were people who had, quote unquote, special privileges. And basically, they would represent people before God. And so it was their duty. It was their responsibility. And they were called the Levites. And so everybody else just kind of did life, but they were the ones who basically represented people before God, and they were the ones who basically fulfilled, quote unquote, the ministry. And yet when Jesus Christ came to earth, he shattered all of that. If you read the Gospels, if you read the New Testament, what you end up finding is when Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for your sins and my sins, Scripture tells us that he tore the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the synagogue, the outer part. And he did that in demonstrating for you and me that now you don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through another person to be connected to God. That literally, because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are all now priests. We all now have a ministry to fulfill and a responsibility to live out. Look at what it says here in Scripture. In Matthew 27, 50 and 51, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." That was symbolizing that now all of mankind has free access to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't need to go through a priest. You don't need to go through a Levite. What happens is you can talk to God whenever you want to. And what he has done and what we're going to learn here is that now all of us are priests. All of us have a ministry to fulfill. And really, it's your calling. It's your calling. You see, that's why your career will never satisfy you. You ever talk to somebody about their job? How's it going? It's okay. It pays the bills. It pays the mortgage. It puts clothes on my kid's back. And what you're basically saying is, but it's not significant and it's not fulfilling. You know why? It never was meant to be. There's something greater. And that is that God has called you and I, God has invited you and I to be priests. I love what Hebrews chapter 4 has to say, and I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. But here's basically what the Hebrew writer is saying. Jesus Christ, through his death, has removed barriers between God and man. And now we may approach him with what? Confidence and boldness. That Dwight Mason can approach God with confidence and boldness because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't need to go through somebody, and you don't need to go through me. And you say, that's great. Well, yes, it is, and no, it isn't, because you know what? We have forgotten that. And so what has happened is, in the Old Testament, there was two classes of people. There were the Levites and then the rest of the people. And what happens, as you've heard us talk about here before, vision leaks. And over a period of time, that vision leaked. And so what most people think of today is clergy and laity. And so what happens is we hire people to do the work of the ministry. That's what you do, right, Dwight? I'm going to help you with that, okay? And I'm just here to be a spectator. I'm just here to be a consumer. And Martin Luther, in the 1500s, he came and redirected that. And he said, no, you got it all wrong, okay? You got it all wrong. We're saved by faith, not by works. And so now we have access to God. And all of us are priests and Levites. All of us are. And so he brought forth the Protestant Reformation. You know what Protestant stands for? Protest. He was protesting the fact that we had divided the church, so to speak, into two groups, priest and laity. And he said, that's wrong. That's wrong. We're not getting what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you and I could have access to him and so that we could reach our full potential in Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to do a little bit of Martin Luther on you. I want to bring you back to the fact that there is no two classes of people in the church. There's not the clergy and the laity. We're all one. We're all one. Here's what I want you to get. I'm not more special than you are. Some of you think I am, but I'm not. It's all level at the foot of the cross. It's all level at the foot of the cross. And so why wouldn't we jump into this? Why wouldn't we involve ourselves in this incredible, unbelievable work called the church? And you know how I feel about the church. The local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And it is the only organization, if you'll let me use that word, that will last throughout the ages. Nothing else you give your time to will last throughout the ages, except the church. Except the church. And so, what would cause you and I not to want to get involved? Let me give you just a couple of reasons, okay? One would be no needs. I mean, you may come to Worcester, or you may come to Coshocton, or Millersburg, or Canton, or Dover, and you're here, and you've been coming, and you think, man, this thing hums. This thing is a well-oiled machine. Let me help you with that. It's not, okay? But I'm glad you think that it is, okay? And so what happens is you can come here and think, man, they don't need my help. Look how large they are. Look at what's going on. They don't need my help. And what I would say is you're wrong. I'm glad you think that way, because we try very, very hard to be able to get it right here. We don't always get it right, but we try very hard to get it right. We want you to feel welcomed. We want you to feel special. We want you to feel cared for. So I'm glad if you think that. But the fact of the matter is we do have needs. Okay, so, but that's one reason. Another reason is this: been there, done that. You know, maybe you came from another church and you've had this experience and it soured you. Okay, you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to volunteer there because if I volunteer there, I'll be there for the next 17 years. Not so here. Okay, we allow people to say, hey, you know what? I've tried this and this really isn't how I'm wired. We're okay with that. You see, here's what you're going to learn today. We don't want you to serve out of guilt. We want you to serve out of gladness. When I participate in this, when I do this, I come alive. And then another one is just the time factor. You know, Dwight, I would love, when life slows down, you know what? I'm going to get involved and I'm really going to make a impact. You know what? You'll die not making an impact. Because your life as well as my life is never going to slow down. I hear people tell me this all the time. Dwight, I thought when I retired that life would slow down. And you know what? It hasn't. If anything, it's going faster than what it's ever gone before. And I got more things to do now that I'm retired than I did before I was retired, and I don't know how I ever got it done. See, that's a myth. But listen to me. Who's the keeper of the time? So I don't know what you mean. Let me ask you this. When you get the report from the doctor, who do you talk to? God. God, I'd like for you to heal me. God, what you're asking is, God, I'd like for you to extend my time here on earth. So he's the keeper of the time. And so what happens is we have to explode this myth that it's a time factor. No, it's a value factor. It's a priority factor. And you and I, myself included, okay, we have time for that which is important to us. Okay? So when somebody comes to you, okay, I'm going to spill the beans. Is that okay? When somebody comes to you and they say, I'd love to make it there, I just can't. That's kind of a lie. What they're really saying is, I would make it there if it was more important, but I got more important things on my schedule than coming to your wedding, to your funeral, to your fill in the blank. Because here's what I know about Dwight, okay? Dwight makes time for that which I feel is important. Y'all okay on that one? So a time factor. Here's another one. I could go on, but another one is just a wrong view of self. Just a wrong view of self. It's that what happens is you think that I'm more special than you are. You think, well, that's what we've hired the staff to do, and I'm going to help you with that as well. But the fact of the matter is, no, you are a priest. You're a Levite. And it all changed when you come to accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And I want to show that to you. But for us to be able to do that, we have to have a mindset. We have to have a mindset. And so I want to talk about four mindsets that we have to have if we're going to make an impact. Otherwise, we'll believe one of those lies. There's no needs. Okay? I've been disappointed before. I don't have the time. Or you have the wrong view of yourself. And you say, Dwight, what is a mindset? Let me give you what a mindset is. The established set of attitudes held by someone. It's something that you've established in your life. It's a filter in your life. It's something that you've just established as an attitude. And you say, you know what? This is how I think. This is my mindset. Colossians talks about it in Colossians 3:2. He says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, okay? The things that are eternal, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. So he says here, set your mind and keep focused habitually. Why? Because you and I get out of focus. It's easy for me and it's easy for you to be able not to do that which is most important because of the tyranny of the urgent. And so what he is saying here is develop a mindset so that it will naturally keep you focused. Let me give you four of them, all right? Here's the first one. I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Okay, now if you will let this set in, I'm telling you, this will transform your life. It's not who you think I am. It's not even who I think I am. It's who God says I am. That's the most important. And God would say to you and me that we are ministers. Look at what Peter writes, okay? Peter writes this, for you are chosen people. For you are a chosen people. You remember growing up on the playground, kickball? You always wanted to be what? Hey, choose me, choose me, choose me. I want to be involved. I want to play. Guess what? God has chosen you, and he wants you to be involved. It says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's own possession. And as a result, check this out, you can show others the goodness of God. Wow, what a privilege. For he called you out of darkness into his what? Wonderful light. So what happens is what he is saying is now that you've experienced the goodness of God, I've called you to help other people to experience the goodness of God. That's your calling. That's my calling. He goes on to say this, once you had no identity as a people, I don't know who I am, okay? Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. And listen to me, I'm telling you, oh, I hope you can get this. If tomorrow morning you would wake up and before you left your house, you would say these words, I am a minister of God's goodness, it would transform your life. What happens is you would begin to experience a purpose that's bigger than your problems. You see, this is why I got something for you. I want something for you more than I want something from you. Because I'm telling you, if you get this, then what happens is life won't just be a matter of solving problems. Life won't just be a matter of going from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis. You have something much, much bigger and better than that. You're a minister of God's goodness. And if you'll let that sink in, I'm telling you, it will transform your life. Here's the second mindset, and that is this. I'm called to an important role. I'm called to an important role, okay? All of us are. All of us are. If I were to ask you who's the most important person at New Point, you might say me. Maybe some of you wouldn't, but you might say me, and I'd say wrong. I said we're all important. See, we all have equal value before God. See, in our world, somehow we have this rankism. We like to rank things. Well, she's more important than he is because she holds this position and he holds that position. And that's not of God. Do you know that? That's not even of God. That's the world system. And what we have to understand and what we have to realize is I'm a minister and I'm called to an important role. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 1:15. He says, God in his grace, that means I don't deserve it, okay? Chose me even before I was born, and he called me to what? To serve him. He called me to serve him. That's an important role. You know, have you ever heard these people who get nominated for positions in the president's cabinet? They said, yeah, I got asked. Who can turn down the president of the United States when he asks you to serve your country? I could never do that, they say. Well, who could turn down the one who knitted you together in your mother's womb? Who died for you? When he asked you and I, and he's called you and I to serve. Paul says it this way, and I think this is incredible. We need to get this in 1 Corinthians. He says, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one is a separate and necessary part of it. We're a separate and necessary part of it. That means that I'm important. I am important. I'm necessary. Though I'm separate, I'm necessary. And what happens is we have a tendency to value more roles than others. And it's just not in God's vocabulary. You know what? I've never had anybody compliment me on my liver. Oh, Dwight, I wish I had a liver like yours. It's so attractive, and I'm so drawn to it. But take my liver out of my body, and I'm a dead man. I don't function. I don't function. You know why? Because it's important. It's a matter of life and death for me. And yet what happens is we don't see it that way. Do you know at all of our campuses today, you're able to see me because of a camera person? And I just want to tell you, that camera person is as important as I am. Y'all right on that one? Because if he or she doesn't do their job, then you know what? I'm done. I'm cooked. And so their role is very, very important. Listen to me. You know the people who's in the rainforest, the pond, rocking babies so that you won't be distracted, so that there's not a baby in this room crying and distracting you? They're as every bit as important as I am. Do you know that person who's teaching maybe your son or daughter in Velocity or in Remix, and they're helping them understand the goodness of God because they've grasped the fact that they are a minister of God's goodness is every bit as important as I am? That's why this is humbling. And I just want you to get the message. We don't have superstars around here. We just have players. We just have ministers. We just have people that says, hey, you know what? I know what God is asking me to do. And you know what? I just want to do it because of his love for me. And I want to share his goodness. And it is absolutely important that somebody is greeted well in the parking lot. Because I'm the first person that they're going to meet here at our campus. That's why Paul goes on to say this, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Why does he say that? He says that because it's so important. He says, I urge you, I beg you to live a life of the calling that you have received because the stakes are so high. Because if you don't function in the area that God has gifted you, then what happens is we will lack. And we won't be able to be all that God wants us to be. And so every Every role, every task is important. You see, let me help you with this, okay? You see, I'm not really the preacher. You know, it sounds like you're preaching. No, I'm not. I'm the equipper. You say, where do you get that? Well, look at what Paul has to say. This is incredible. Now, these are the gifts of Christ, and he gave to the church. The apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay? Check out this. Okay, here's what I want you to get. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So my responsibility, okay, that I'm going to be rewarded for is how well did you equip people? See, listen to me, okay? Everybody on New Point staff is not here to do ministry. Well, I thought that's what we hired them to do. I thought that's why I give a tithe. I thought that's why. No. They're all here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. That's their responsibility. That's my responsibility. Why? Because you're called to do an important role. And we're called to equip you. And that's what I'm going to be rewarded for. Dwight, how well of an equipper were you? How well did you equip people? And so I need to have that mindset. Let me give you the third mindset, and that's this. I am unique. I am unique. Now, I know that you probably say, Dwight, you are unique. My dad would always tell me this growing up. He said, Dwight, I love you, but I thank God you weren't twins. Okay? That's how unique I am. But the fact of the matter is, all of us are unique. So why would you want to be somebody else? My sister told me at a very young age, you know, Dwight, you're not a very good John Maxwell. You're not a very good Bill Hybels. You're not a very good Andy Stanley. But you know what? You're an incredible Dwight Mason. Why would we want to copy somebody when God has made you and I as originals? Because we don't understand our identity. We don't understand our identity. And God has gifted you in specific ways so that what happens is you can make a maximum impact. And if you and I try to be somebody else, let me help you with this, you're not making a maximum impact. Minimal. Because it's based on how God has wired you. Here's what Paul says, and this is incredible. Paul says God's variety gifts are handed out everywhere, but they are all originated in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. Look at this right here, okay? God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone what? Benefits. Everyone benefits. When you fulfill your role, when I fulfill my role, what happens is everybody benefits. He goes on to say this, all kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is what? Wonderful. Wonderful. When you accept and embrace your uniqueness, it's wonderful. It's incredible. And so I have to have the mindset that I'm a minister of God's goodness. I've been called to an important role, and I am unique, and there's nobody like me. Here's the fourth and the final one, and that is this. I'm a 10 in some area. And I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect or I'm going to be perfect. When I say I'm a 10 in some area, what I'm saying is you have a sweet spot. You have a sweet spot that when you operate in it, you feel like you're a 10. You say, this is what I'm what? This is what I'm made for. This is what I love. This doesn't drain me. This energizes me. And so what happens is we have to understand that. That's why so many of us lead mediocre lives is because, you know what? We're not in that 10 area. We're not in that 10 area. You see, Peter says it like this. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so what happens is you've been gifted in a area. You don't have all the gifts, okay? You don't have, listen to me. Someone who is good in everything, can I help you with this? Someone who is good in everything is average. So quit trying to be good at everything. Humble yourself, submit to others, and allow them to fulfill their role so that you can fulfill your role. And then what happens is you experience greatness. The reason why we have so much average in our world today is because we don't believe that we're a 10 in some area. So we're trying to be like somebody else. We don't believe that we're unique. We don't believe that we have an important role to fulfill. And so we're just average. You see, the psalmist writes it like this. He says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Check this out. I know that full what? Well, do you know that full well? Do you know that God has gifted you? Do you know that you're unique? Do you know it full well? If you do, you won't try to copy other people. You'll just embrace who God has made you. And see, this is why I want something for you more than I want something from you. Because our whole mission here at New Point is summed up in this: to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do for you. That's what we want to do as a staff at New Point. We want to help you to realize that God has called you. And he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He wants you to make a maximum impact. And here's the two promises that I promise you if you allow us to lead you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. Number one, maximum impact. You'll have maximum impact. I promise you, you will. Here's the second thing is, you will experience incredible fulfillment. Incredible fulfillment. I promise you. Those are the two things I promise you. If you'll let us lead you as a staff to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, let me wrap it up with this. Oh, Dwight, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know all the stuff that I've done. Can I just tell you that God does not have a plan B for your life? He only has a plan A. Now, your plan A might be a little messy right now, but he only has one plan for your life. And if you looked at the life of Jesus Christ, he would always meet people and he would give them an opportunity to experience a turning point in their life, to change their ways, called repentance. And here's the reason why. Paul tells us that God's gifts and his callings are irrevocable. That nothing that you have done has revoked your gifts or your calling. The timing may have changed. There may have been a detour, but God loves you and God cares about you. And he wants you to be able to make a maximum impact. He wants you to be able to come alive. He wants you to be able to experience fun. He wants you to be able to bear forth fruit. And he wants you to experience fulfillment. And it all comes back when we have these four mindsets. And so today, here, we have a card, okay? And we're inviting you, but God is calling you to be a part of his work and to make a maximum impact. And I want that for you today. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. Wow. We thank you that you've made a way that we can realize and reach our full potential in Jesus Christ. We thank you that today we can begin to have a turning point in our life, and we can begin to do that which really makes us come alive, not just pay bills. We can do that which will allow us to experience significance and not just a taste of success. And I pray for every person here today that we would realize that you have a plan and a purpose that is greater and surpasses anything that we've ever done or any situation that we find ourselves in today. And my prayer today for each and every one of us, that this would be a turning point in our life. And we would come to you and say, yes, yes, yes to what you're asking us to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.